everything you got. Play fast, play hard. Let's beat these boys tonight in their house.
It's party time. It's party time.
Dad, here we go.
Touchdown! You are listening to the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. Now here's your host, Brand Duffy.
That's right. Another week and a huge win on Monday Night Football as the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast continues. I'm Fran Duffy, and as always, I think we've got a great show for you here on episode number 73. At the top of this week's show, we've got Chalk Talk, where I chat with Greg Cosell from NFL Films, who's going to join us to talk about Carson Wentz in his second act as the Eagles' starting quarterback. Greg and I will rehash everything that we both saw from the tape on Tuesday morning. Next up, we've got Scouting Report, where I want to talk about a player that the Steelers lean on heavily on defense and talk about how he's been pretty up and down so far through two games. I think he's going to have a pretty big impact one way or another in this game on Sunday afternoon. Lastly, we will wrap it up with Two Technique, where this week I caught up with Eagles tight end Trey Burton to break down the correct way to run a stick route out of the slot. We've got a ton to get into, as always, so let's not waste any time. Greg and I talk about Carson Wentz, this Eagles defense, and a whole lot more. So let's get to that interview now in Chalk Talk.
Let's get down to business. It's time for Chalk Talk.
Want to welcome in, as we do each and every week here on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast, NFL Film senior producer Greg Cosell. And Greg, it is week three already.
Super Bowl.
Well, I'm sure that's all you're hearing as you're sitting in your office listening to the radio all day instead of watching tape. But obviously, look, very, very exciting time here in Philadelphia. Everyone very excited, and for good reason, for quarterback Carson Wentz and his performance second straight week, looking very, very good against the Chicago Bears. You got a chance to go through the tape this morning. We're recording this Tuesday night.
Sure.
We were here very late Monday night watching the game. What were your thoughts after going back through the tape Tuesday morning on Wentz?
Two things really stand out to me, which are obviously positives. And, again, there'll be mistakes coming up, but number one, he's in total command. And I thought the way they started the game said so much about the player, because they started the game with five straight snaps of no-huddle spread. Now, it wasn't tempo. They weren't trying to play fast, but they put the game in his hands at the line of scrimmage to start the game. And you're also playing against a Vic Fangio defense that historically Vic Fangio is very multiple, very diverse with what he does. And they put the game in Carson Wentz's hand to start. And, you know, after the first two plays, then Vic decided to bring on play three and four, two slot blitzes, and Wentz immediately knew what he had, got rid of the football. But just the command with which he plays at this point in his career, it really stands out.
You know, and it's interesting, those first five plays, you know, you start out in empty. And I mentioned this, depending on when you're listening to this, you might be able to check this out now on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and on the Eagles mobile app, the Eagle Eye in the Sky video segment. I looked at a few of those plays from that first drive and a couple of them from the empty, you know, from the empty set. And one of the big things about playing in empty, and obviously you know this, is it really helps to simplify things for the quarterback in a lot of ways, because it prevents the defense from disguising. So it shows that the staff has a lot of faith in Carson Wentz, but it also is a good way to keep him comfortable. Nice, quick completions.
Get him in the game.
Get him in the rhythm.
That's a great point, because what you want to do with young quarterbacks, really any quarterback, is to get them completions early. And when you go empty, because there's a chance for pressure where they can bring more than you can block because there's only five offensive linemen, it's quick throws. It's really three-step drop timing with defined reads. And the ball comes out quick, and I think he completed those first five passes.
Yeah, and it was all curl to Nelson Agholor. It was double slant.
Right.
It was, you know, the pivot route to DGB. It was the quick hitting routes and over and over. And then what do you see? It pays off. It's fourth and two across midfield. And normally you're like, oh, it's opening drive. You're going for a fourth down. He's already completed like seven passes on this drive. He's in rhythm. He hits it for a first down.
The other thing I was going to point out, the second thing that I think that's stood out both last night and in week one, you don't really see mistakes in terms of decision making. You haven't really at this point. I mean, there was a play last night you and I talked about, and we watched and went, oh, my God, don't do that. Yeah, great play, where he rolled to his left and kind of threw back across his body, which you don't want to make a habit of in the National Football League. But just in terms of the rhythm of the offense and the structure of the offense, I'd be hard-pressed to say that I felt as if he made a mistake in reading.
Yeah.
In reading coverage and understanding where to go with the football. Now, there's going to be inaccurate throws here and there. And, you know, obviously some plays that don't work out the way you want them to. But I don't think he's really made mistakes. I mean, we're almost at the point through two games where probably the largest issue we're trying to figure out is checks at the line of scrimmage. Is he making the right checks? And I'm sure there are some wrong checks.
Of course.
You know, and obviously the Eagles offensive coaching staff will tell you that. But this has been command, poise, awareness. You normally don't see that in a rookie quarterback.
No, and it's great. All those things, you know, the pocket movement, like all those things, we're seeing slight improvements from week in and week out with Carson Wentz, and it's really great to see. You mentioned, you know, that one throw where, though, you know what play it actually reminded me of? It was a great NFL Films clip. I forget who the opponent was, but it was a miking with Brian Billick when he was with the Ravens.
Right.
And Ed Reed has that interception return from deep in the end zone, and he's like, go down, Ed. No, Ed. No, Ed. As he's taking it out
right,
of the end
right,
zone,
right.
And he breaks it
right,
and takes it to the house. And where that was almost how I felt watching that Wentz, that one throw rolling to his left, throwing across his body to Aguilar, running to his right. It was an unbelievable throw.
You just don't want to do
not
that,
an
though.
Ideal situation
right, right,
that you're
right.
going to make that throw week in and week out. But no, very, very exciting, obviously.
You know, here's what struck me. And I only say this because, as you know, Fran, I watch pretty much every team. I study every team. I watch as much tape as I possibly can. And I think it's a real tribute to this coaching staff, to the offensive coaching staff, Doug Peterson, Frank Reich, and John DeFilippo. And I'll tell you why. And they have, by the way, if you look at their experience level in the NFL, you can understand why. Because when you draft a quarterback, number two, now granted, they still had Sam Bradford at the time. But for Carson Wentz to be ready to play week one, and he was ready to play now. This wasn't a game plan where they said, let's just hand it off and try to hide him or compensate for him, and they certainly didn't do that last night against the Bears. That tells you that he's being coached exceedingly well because he missed, what, 3 weeks of practice time, give or take?
He played a quarter of one preseason game.
37 snaps,
30
was
snaps,
it?
Or something like that, yeah.
And, you know, then he's starting week one, and he's clearly ready to play. Now, that doesn't – hey, we know they're playing a tough team this week. Could he come out and throw two picks? Or, of course he could. You know, it's the NFL. Those things happen. But that doesn't take away from the command and the awareness and the understanding with which he's playing. And that, to me, is a real tribute to, you know, the coaching staff. I mean, people might forget. They know Doug Peterson being in Philly, and they know Doug Peterson being an Andy Reid guy. But Doug Peterson played for Don Shula and Mike Holmgren. Those are two pretty heavyweight coaches, and they, you know, Doug, I think, has learned what it takes to get quarterbacks ready and how to play in the NFL. And we'll see how it plays out. There's a long way to go, but I think it's a real tribute to the coaching staff.
A lot of people, in, you know, nationally, and look, he's getting all kinds of buzz right now, obviously for obvious reasons. But a lot of people will still point to, oh, well, you know, it's obviously still very early.
Of course it is.
And it's still, we've seen lots of rookies come in and have early success, in quotes, you know, quote unquote
right.
success. How often do you see rookies that come in and show some of the things that Carson has shown from a quarterback skill perspective, the poise, the pocket movement, the control at the line, and not pan out? Like, you know, I know we've seen guys come in and make throws, you know, and no question about it, but from the those other aspects.
Well, I think pan out is a relative term. I mean, I'd be a little uncertain right now to sit here and say he's going to be the best quarterback
of
in
course.
Football or a top
sure.
three quarterback, you know. But I'd also be hard-pressed to think that he's not going to be a quality NFL starter, whatever that ultimately means down the road. Maybe he will be great. But I think when you look at skill set, and I think that's evident to people, there's a skill set there that is pretty darn good. Skill set-wise, he may be top five. Now, that doesn't mean he's top five as we're having this conversation, but skill set-wise. And I think just seeing the poise and the awareness and the command, that to me is really speaks volumes. Because that's what the quarterback – look, you and I have discussed numerous times that – with everything that goes on defensively now in the NFL, for a quarterback, a large part of the game happens before the ball snapped. And they're giving him the opportunity to do that. That tells you a lot right there. For a coaching staff to give him the ability to do that, that tells you that they're confident in him because they don't want bad plays called. And if they didn't feel he could call the right plays, they wouldn't give him, the ability to do this.
And when you read some of the quotes from some of his teammates, both last night and last week, you get to see really how his peers feel about him. You know, you hear about Jason Peters and Lane Johnson saying how much Wentz loves the chess match, and Jordan Matthews talking about his preparation and how much he really just he loves the game. He loves everything about it.
It's funny you say that. You pick up little snapshots when you watch a game on TV. You know, totally different experience than watching the tape.
Yep.
And you and I both love the tape. But when you watch it live on TV, a couple of snapshots. And I remember last night, I don't know if I said this to you at the time.
I think you did. I think I know what you're going to say.
Right at the half?
Yes.
You know, most of the time the half ends, yep. Players, coaches walk off the field. He's got his little, iPad or whatever they call him nowadays.
Windows Surface.
Right. I should know that because tablet, I work for the NFL. And he's looking at it and he's talking to Doug. You know, yep. I mean, he wants to go over something right then. And, you know, that's just a little snapshot that I think speaks to his view of process. And, you know, not to sound like Nick Saban in process, but it's a valid point. It starts with the process. If you don't embrace the process of getting better and doing the necessary work at this level, you can't be a great player.
Philadelphia is all too aware of trusting the process in coming to the Philadelphia 76ers. That's a whole other conversation.
Right.
But as we transition, one of the other things that stood out to me, and I want to transition to the rest of the passing game, is the big drop by Jordan Matthews down the goal line. The play after that, or I should say the drive ends, and you see those two kind of talking it out on the sideline, and it was, you know, you'd think, oh, you know, maybe there's some tension. You know, no, those guys were, it was like just kind of talking it through, hey, we'll get the next one, and he went back to Jordan a number of times. You see the confidence for both last week and this week against Chicago that those two kind of have with each other. I think Carson really trusts Matthews in the middle of the field, winning those matchups in man coverage.
Well, and again, I hate to sound cliched, but I think that's all process. I think Carson Wentz is a guy that each play becomes a separate play, and the last one is over, and, you know, quarterbacks have to have amnesia in the National Football League because, you know what, there's bad plays. The defense wins sometimes. Sometimes the defense wins a lot, and you have to have amnesia, and you have to move on to the next play clear-headed. And I think Carson Wentz has shown that ability up to this point. Now, there'll be far more adversity that he's going to face, clearly, you know, because that's the way it works.
No doubt.
But my sense is that mentally he'll handle that.
Yeah, and then transitioning to the defensive side of the ball, Greg, it's really interesting that, you know, the sack production hasn't been where I think a lot of fans thought it would be. The run defense was up and down the other night against Chicago. But when you look at the end of the day, this defensive unit is ranked in the top five in most major categories that you would think to be impactful. It's one of five teams in the league to not allow a drive of 5 yards or more, or 5 minutes or more.
5 yards would be good.
5 yards
would
be good.
That would be really good.
I believe.
Of course, it looked like that the first week with the first three series against Cleveland.
Yes, but they were one of only five teams to not allow a drive of 5 minutes or more. They have played less plays than any team in the NFL defensively, so have done a really good job getting off the ball or getting off the field.
That's a big thing. I'll tell you what stands out to me the most about the defense. I think they're playing with great discipline. This is not one of those defenses where you're going to see a ton of blitz, although you'll see some, depending on the opponent, the situation. But I think that, and this again, this comes back to coaching. They play with really good discipline and a really good understanding of their assignments. And I think, I'll tell you, the two players I wouldn't discount in that area because they're so critical to making sure everything in front of them works are the two safeties, Jenkins and McLeod. And obviously in Philadelphia, people know about Jenkins. He's been here. They're not as aware of McLeod because it's his first year. But I remember telling you when they signed him that was a great signing because I'd seen every one of McLeod's games with the Rams, and I thought he was one of the most overlooked. That's by the public.
The league knew how good he was. Yeah.
Overlook safeties in the league, and I think those two guys really can help set the tone for the discipline that's needed to prevent big plays.
You know what player stood out to me, and you talk about the defensive line, we know Fletcher Cox is dominant.
Bo Allen was good last night.
I thought Bo Allen was good. I thought Benny Logan was good. Yeah. Brandon Graham was outstanding last night.
Yeah.
And even going back to
defense
last week.
Defense fits him.
Yeah. He looks as good as he's ever looked in Philadelphia, I think.
Well, obviously, you know, he's been a guy that's been, you know, a little bit of a whipping boy because he came right before Earl Thomas. And Earl Thomas is an all-pro and a great safety. But this style of defense fits Brandon Graham because at his core, you know, I remember watching him at Michigan, as I'm sure you did as well. And I wouldn't say he was Dwight Freeney. He wasn't quite that explosive, but he was that style of player given his size and his height, because he's not tall and he's not 290 pounds, but he's a pass rusher. And, you know, again, not to just use cliched phrases, but he's always had a little bit of a knack for rushing the quarterback.
Yeah.
And this defense clearly fits him.
No doubt. And it's been really good to see, because I love Brandon off the field as well. It's good to see him really kind of take his play to the next level this season so far. Linebacking core, I thought it was interesting. You saw some more snaps from Steven Tulloch inside.
Absolutely.
Really interesting rotation there at linebacker. Yep. I think a lot of those, I didn't look at the official snap counts, but interesting to see all those guys really working a pretty heavy rotation.
Yeah.
And not just, you know, there was Nickel and Jordan Hicks wasn't on the field. You know, there were times where they really rotated those guys in and out, which was really interesting to see.
They had Tulloch and Bradham playing meaningful snaps in the nickel.
Yeah, absolutely. If my memory serves, the interception Bradham had
was Nickel.
Was Bradham and Tulloch.
That's correct.
So it's it was interesting to see that rotation. And then in the secondary, we've already talked about the safeties, and I love both those guys. It was interesting to see Jalen Mills in his first extended action, and you talked about short memory with Carson Wentz. I thought that one sequence that really kind of encapsulated, I think, how the staff feels about Jalen Mills, and then also what we've kind of seen from him so far in camp. There was a screen play on the outside, and he came down, and he missed a tackle. And they
I remember it.
For like a 10-yard play.
Yep.
The very next play, it was a run to his side. He comes down and he makes the tackle as a force player.
Right.
And like, that's the kind of short memory and the ability to rebound. He thinks he belongs. He knows he belongs out in that field.
And he's played, you know, in college, he played outside corner, slot corner, and safety. So he has a lot of experience, not only as a cover man, but as a tackler. They'll get a test this week. This will be a very interesting test.
Yes.
And again, I don't know if Leoris McKelvin will be back or not, but if not, Mills will, they'll get tested.
So let's make this transition now. And this Pittsburgh Steeler offense, I'll be frank, you know, preparing for Eagles game plan and doing everything last week for the Bears, it was tough from a schematic standpoint. I was trying to figure out what do I want to talk about? What do I want to focus on? No shortage of topics I could hit on with this Steelers team on both sides of the football. A lot of really interesting topics to hit on. And obviously you start with the passing game and Antonio Brown, who's just, I mean, he's so dynamic in every way, shape, and form. Just an outstanding route runner, extremely quick, has the ability to take the top off of defense. Obviously so great at the catch point as well. What can you do to keep a lid on Antonio Brown?
A lot of teams will double him with dedicated doubles. Now, you can't do that on every play, obviously, but teams do that. But that doesn't mean Big Ben won't throw him the ball. We've seen that. I mean, I've seen that numerous times. The other thing, too, that's really tough is sometimes he'll get doubled and he's not available within the timing of the play. And then Ben moves a little bit, which he's as good as there is in the league at navigating the pocket. And then Brown will move and he'll be open. There was a play like that. You probably saw it this week when you watched Pittsburgh's. Oh, it was early in the game.
It was awesome.
It was unbelievable. And they got a first down. I think it was 3rd and 9.
Yes.
It was early in the game. And you know, so he's just a hard cover. But the issue you face is, and Marcus Wheaton will be back this week, by the way. So now they really have four receivers, counting Eli Rogers, who's pretty good in
player.
The slot. Yeah. Four receivers that can be problematic. And Sammy Coates almost always lines up on the side of the formation opposite Brown because he's the vertical threat. So if you're using a safety to be involved in the double on Brown, very often it's difficult to have another safety, you know, unless you're going to play two shell on every snap, which teams don't want to.
The way D'Angelo Williams is running the football.
Exactly. That's the other thing. That's the other thing to say. I mean, the game against Cincinnati this week, it was in the rain. It was an odd game. But they were committed to the running game. And it's a pretty diverse run game, as you saw, with Roethlisberger under center, with Roethlisberger in the gun. Under center, they like to run a lot of power concepts. In the gun, they run a lot of zone concepts,
split zone,
toss sweep. I mean, they do a lot of different kinds of runs. And I tell you, Williams is one of those guys. His lateral quickness, his stop and start ability to get in and out of cuts and in and out of the hole, he's pretty good.
This is going to be a big situational football game because, you know, going and looking and preparing for this game, you look at the numbers, and on both sides of the football, Pittsburgh is extremely strong, both in the red zone, where they're first in the league on both sides of the football, and on third down. They're third on offense and fourth on defense, or vice versa. Now I'm trying to remember. It's been a long night. But really impressive. And I watched all their third down plays. Striking to me how much more they throw the ball on third down as opposed to run. If I remember right, 33 snaps of third down, 26 passes, 7 runs. and they do so many different things, whether it's the rub concepts, a lot of the bunch looks. Obviously, you have Antonio Brown, Eli Rogers.
Sometimes
good
they
route
just line
runs.
Up and yeah. with individual routes.
That's what I mean. Those kind of route runners.
Yeah.
Guys are able to get open, and Brown's so good, like you
and
mentioned.
And Brown lines up on both
uncovering.
Sides. So, I mean, if it's Jalen Mills this week, or it doesn't matter who it is,
yeah.
it's Antonio Brown, and you're going to line up, and he's just going to run routes against the corner. I mean, he's tough to cover now.
No doubt. So it's going to be.
There was another great. I mean, you probably remember this. There was another third down play. I believe it might have been in the fourth quarter. I think it was on the touchdown drive to D'Angelo Williams that pretty much put the game away.
Okay.
It was third down. They had Brown double covered and Ben threw an out route.
Yeah.
Do you remember the play?
Yeah.
To the left sideline?
Where they high-load him.
They high-load him.
Yep.
He was double-covered.
So Cincinnati, why don't we say that they high-load him, they had an underneath defender taking anything away, in theory, anything
right.
away short.
Right.
And they had a corner
I think it was a
two-man
concept where the corner was actually the high defender, and they had a it might have been a safety. It might have been Williams. I can't remember.
Right.
Who was underneath him. And
he
yeah.
ran. He ran it. I think it was a post.
An out route.
Post corner. It was,
no, yeah, it was an out route.
It was some kind of outbreaking
yeah,
route.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Down towards the sideline, and it was the first. It was a ridiculous route. Perfect route against
and
that
a great
coverage.
Throw. See, Ben ridiculous. Will throw that. Even if Brown is theoretically double covered, Ben's going to throw the ball.
No doubt. And lots of multiple tight end looks.
Oh.
And they do a lot of different things. And they're missing the guy that a lot of people thought would be an impact player for them, Ladarius Green.
Right.
Who they signed from San Diego. But you have Jesse James, the Penn State kid. David Johnson, who's worked in there
Grimble.
A little bit. And then Xavier
pretty
Grimble
athletic
from
kid, USC.
Caught
I remember,
a touchdown
yeah,
last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they've got some weapons there. It's a really intriguing offense. Offensive line, I would say, is okay. But they make up for it with
yeah.
the skill players, absolutely.
Well, it'll be an interesting match if Brandon Graham goes against the left tackle, who's about 6'9".
Yeah,
he could get
Alejandro Villanueva,
right.
Eagles fans remember him from a couple years ago.
Right, right, who's not a great left tackle, but he holds his own. And Ben can compensate for a lot of offensive line issues.
No doubt. So defensively, it's not the Blitzburg defense
not
though, that
all.
You would imagine. No,
no.
It is a very low percentage blitz team.
Selective.
Yeah, and when they do, a lot of disguise with
yes.
it. Yes. And so we've done a couple segments so far tonight that are going to be used on the kickoff show and on Eagles game plan having to do with one of their coverages, cover two trap.
You've got to be careful
take,
with that.
Take us through.
Well, that's it's tough to explain without seeing a
of
visual.
Course, but
the point is that one of the outside corners, instead of playing what would be considered much more of a conventional cover two or cover three situation, ends up showing something and then immediately turning back inside to take away any quick outbreaking route. And if you're not aware of it, if you're going to throw that quick outbreaking route, which they give you because they're baiting a quarterback, you're in trouble. They've intercepted Flacco. Andy Dalton struggled with it. I mean, they've caused problems for veteran quarterbacks, and you have to be really careful when you think you have a wide open outbreaking route that is absolutely there and you think it's going to be pitch and catch. There could be a corner sitting right there waiting for that throw.
Very high percentage zone team, as
yep.
Greg mentioned. It's cover three. You see a lot of cover two looks. But the big thing will be the disguise element, both pre-snap. What you're going to see pre is not always what you're going to see post-snap. But then also, like you mentioned, the post-snap, you might snap the ball and think, okay, the corner's getting ready to turn and run with
right.
his receiver
yep.
downfield. He's actually sticking his foot in the ground and getting ready to turn around and intercept a pass you're throwing to the flat. So it's definitely something that Carson Wentz and this Eagles offensive coaching staff will have to be prepared for.
And keep in
for.
Mind, you know, as wonderful as Carson Wentz has been, this week in film study and on the practice field, it's probably the first time he's really dealing with cover two trap in his life.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's a little different animal.
Yeah, no doubt. And when you look at just the personnel, it's a violent defense.
Yep.
Guys like Shazier, who's super explosive. Stephon Tuitt.
A
Cam
really
Hayward.
Good player, by the way.
Those guys are really good, yeah. The two DNs there.
And, you know, they're starting in their base 3-4, the kid from South Carolina State
Javon
at Hargrave. The nose. Yeah.
Three rookies playing a good amount of snaps. Here's an interesting one for you. They have no rookies on the entire roster on the offensive side of the football.
Wow.
Zero rookies, only four rookies total on the team, all four on defense, but the first three, and they were their first three picks in the draft. Artie Burns is their dime corner, plays
yep.
outside. Sean Davis is their nickel corner, is a safety. He's listed as a safety, but is their nickel corner. And then Javon Hargrave is their starting nose.
So they're an interesting defense because, you look at that defense. Look, and obviously if they're playing cover three and you want to run routes outside the numbers, they'll match up. But it's not a matchup defense. It's not where you – like Sean Davis is playing – in the slot in their dime, and then he goes to safety. Excuse me, he plays slot in their nickel and goes to safety in their dime. But when he's playing slot in the nickel, it's not as if you say, hey, let's go after Sean David, because they don't play a lot of man.
Right.
So it's not that kind of defense.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see just how all of this matches up. The Eagles coaching staff, I think, has done a really good job of giving Carson Wentz options in the passing game in terms of having, you know, maybe you have a single high beater on one side and a cover two beater on one over on
and
the other.
And that's where Wentz has been really good at understanding what the coverage shows on one side versus his route concept. And if it takes it away, not going to that side. One of the things I always talk about, which I don't hear other people talk about a lot, and I think it's so true for quarterbacks, is there is too many quarterbacks who don't eliminate what's not there quickly enough. And they end up sitting on what's not there.
Yeah.
And I think Carson Wentz, up to this point, has shown a nice ability to do that.
Well, Greg, we will certainly have a ton of fun watching this game from the NovaCare Complex here
They
on
win
Sunday,
man. You getting those Super Bowl tickets ready or what?
I'm ready. I don't know about you, but I don't even know where the
game
is.
I'll be there anyway.
It's too late.
It's in Houston.
I've been awake for now for 48 hours.
Right.
50. But, you know, good to have you once again here on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. We'll see you this weekend.
All right. Good.
Great stuff from Greg. Again, you could follow him on Twitter, just like I do, at Greg Cosell. And while you're at it, I'm at FDuffy3. That's where I post all of the podcasts I'm a part of and all of our X's and O's content that we produce here at PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And you know I greatly appreciate everybody that promotes this podcast on social media. That is one way to support this show. And the other is to go onto iTunes, go on Stitcher, give us a rating, and even leave us a comment. I wanted to give a shout-out to Shaler Tillman in Iowa, who said that he learned to be a fan of the Eagles from his dad. And now that they live in different states, this podcast actually helps him stay ahead of the curve with the team and the game of football, and that it helps him spend time with his dad even though he's states away. And I'll tell you what, Shaler, that was really nice of you to say. You know, as someone who lost my dad a few years ago, my dad was a huge Eagles fan too, certainly got me down the right track. Was really moved to get that message from you. So really happy that you get kind of that kind of fulfillment from this show. That is awesome. So thanks to Shaler and all of you out there for your continued support of this show and all the rest of our podcast offerings on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Now, let's keep this show going. I told you earlier that I wanted to profile a player that could have a huge impact on this game one way or another on Saturday afternoon. Time to reveal who that is in our scouting report.
Dim those lights. We're headed to the film room for the scouting report.
All right, so the big reveal. Who is this player that I'm talking about that could have a big impact? Well, I'm going to go with the rookie second-round pick out of Maryland, defensive back Sean Davis, who I compared to Eric Rowe throughout the entire draft process. You can go back to the Journey of the Draft podcast when we were doing even a year ago, this time last fall, and I was watching Davis, and he reminded me of the Eagles' former second-round pick from a year ago, and that's Eric Rowe. 6'1", 201 pounds. He played some corner. He played some safety for the Terrapins, just like Rowe did at Utah, and they had an almost identical athletic profile at the combine. So it was really, really interesting just to see where he would get drafted. He ended up going in the second round as well to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, he was used a little bit differently. You know, Mike Tomlin came out right away and said, you know, we're going to play this kid at safety, but he's playing in the nickel. He is their nickel corner for the Steelers. So very interesting player, to say the least. Let's jump into the scouting report, my notes on him coming out of Maryland. Now, like I said, as a corner, he lined up mostly in off coverage, which is what they do most of the time in Pittsburgh. And I said he spent some time at corner and at safety, played mostly man coverage, and he had some cover two, some cover three mixed in, played a lot of different things down there at Maryland. They had a couple different defensive coordinators in his final 2 years there. As a safety, he lined up both one high and two high, as well as in the slot at times. So he does have a little bit of experience inside in the slot. Now, when he did press, he looked surprisingly disciplined at the line, was able to stay with receivers downfield if he was able to disrupt early. I thought he showed good reaction quickness as an off corner with the ability to read what's in front of him, break on the route or break on the pass, put himself in position to make a number of plays on tape. Athletically, I thought he had the ability to hit pocket and man coverage, surprising quickness and change direction, especially for his size. I thought that this kid was a top 50 pick, and I think he ended up being pretty close to that. Plays trail technique well, can get the ball on the football, get the ball on the ground, always maintains his gap integrity as a run defender. I thought he was a good team run defender overall, both as a corner and as a safety. Good tackler overall for a corner, can fit the run inside, isn't afraid to mix it up in the box, and he had no issues playing with traffic. I loved his competitiveness. So there were a lot of things I really liked about Davis. Now, there were some things he needed to clean up. You know, he had the feet. He had to clean up his feet in his pedal. I thought that he would be a little bit too high, and he looked a little bit stiff, getting in and out of breaks at times, which you would expect from a bigger kid. Prone to biting on double moves as a corner. You know, he gave up a lot of big plays last year as a senior. Gave up 10 catches of 20-plus yards in 12 games, 3 touchdowns last year in 2015. So a lot of different technique issues, some discipline and off coverage. Those were the main culprits with him and some of the big plays that he gave up down the field. You know, he's got good length. I thought he had the athleticism to be a starting defensive back in the NFL. Should have gotten the chance to prove himself at corner, and he's playing slot right now, so he's getting that opportunity. More of a safe. I thought he could be a safety right now, corner down the road with development, but a really interesting player. Now, like I said, they play Davis in the slot. He's their nickel corner, and the only time he's really played there was occasionally as a safety as a junior, so it's definitely been a transition for him. The biggest issue I see with him, and watching Pittsburgh on tape for the last 2 weeks, and this is something to watch. Now, remember, like we talked with Greg, they are a big cover two, cover three team. They play a ton of zone coverage, and his biggest issue is the discipline in zone coverage. You know, where his eyes at? Where is his ability to stay in proper alignment with the defenders underneath? And if you can close your eyes and you can imagine a cover three defense, right? A basic cover three. You got 3 players deep and 4 players underneath. He's often one of those underneath players in the middle of the field, a seam hook player, you know, lining up like on the hash mark towards the middle of the field. Well, too often, I would see Davis on tape the past couple weeks for no reason, either cheating too far inside, you know, near the post in the middle of the field, or cheating too far out towards the sideline where that curl flat player, that other underneath player, was already playing. So you had 2 players really bunched close together, and you left a huge void down the seam, you know, down the hash. I saw it against Washington. I saw it last week again against Cincinnati. And the Bengals were actually able to capitalize on that. They hit a couple big plays down the hashes with vertical routes. So they do a lot of disguising, like we talked about with Greg. And with that, you need your defenders to be able to be very assignment sound and get there in a hurry since they're coming from distance. And that's an area where I think he needs to improve. He's missed a lot of tackles downhill as well in the first couple games and in the preseason. So that's something to watch. He's made a couple nice plays on the ball, particularly down in the red zone. But right now, it's kind of feast or famine with this kid. I'll be really anxious to see how he plays on Saturday afternoon across the street at the link. That could be an area where the Eagles could find some plays in the secondary. All right, well, one player that could be matched up with Sean Davis is Trey Burton, and as a guy that I caught up with this past week in 2 Technique.
Time to get inside the mind of a player. It's time for 2 Technique.
Here now with Eagles tight end Trey Burton. And Trey, I want you to take a snap through finish through a stick route and what that looks like from a fan's perspective.
Well, I think first thing you have to do is check out the defense pre-snap. And then based on whatever coverage they're on, you know, you run your route. And then post-snap, you have to, you know, peek and make sure you're correct with what you checked during pre-snap. Zone, you square out. Like, there's a speed out and a square out. On stick, you want to square out it, but you don't want to come, like, you don't want to turn immediately. You want to, like, kind of throttle out of it. Like, don't run full speed, but don't turn immediately. So you want to do that. And then, obviously, man, you got to beat the guy in speed and get out of there.
So how much of it is trying to settle in and try and find that soft spot? If it is zone, I know you're coming out of that break. Do you want to try and settle? Are you looking to see if there's a cover two corner you're trying to run into? Or what is it that's going through your mind when you see zone?
Yeah, you're going off the mic. So if the mic is squeezing you pretty hard, then you want to kind of get out a little faster. But if the mic is kind of pushed off a little bit, then you kind of have to have a general idea that there's going to be a hooked curl defender or a flat defender outside of you. So you kind of want to throttle out of it.
Great stuff from Trey, and thanks to him, Greg Cosell, and all of you out there listening, whether you're on iTunes, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Spotify, Google Play, and of course on PhiladelphiaEagles.com and the Eagles mobile app. Thank you, and if you get the time again, rate the show, leave us a comment, let us know what you think. You can shoot me a question, I'll answer it here on the podcast. I want to hear from everybody out there. Keep all of you happy, keep making the show better. So wherever you listen, just go shoot us a comment, and we can make it better each and every week. All that being said, I think that'll do it. Another show in the books here on the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast from my producer, BT. I'm Fran Duffy. We will talk to you next week.